Yeah, all right. It's Tuesday. And lots of things happening on the show this evening. We've got a jam-packed show for you, as always. We're going to be chatting to Lauren Comito. And we actually spoke with her when we launched Amsterdam Lab last year. She was one of our first high-profile guests that we had on the show. And she's very knowledgeable, very intelligent. She's a journalist for CBS. And we're going to be chatting to her to find out exactly what is happening in the Dutch elections. Tomorrow's the last day to vote. So if you haven't cast your vote yet and you are Dutch, make sure you do so, because it's very interesting, the polls. I was having a look at the polls before we started the show. And it's very interesting. Lots of parties who have gathered momentum in these elections. So very interesting. Obviously, you know, the youth is going to be the biggest factor, because a lot more youth are registered to vote, and a lot more youth have spoken out against the current government, the VVD, Mark Rutte's party. So it's going to be very interesting to see what the outcome is tomorrow. So that's why we got Lauren on the phone. We'll be chatting to her later on to find out what exactly is happening in the Dutch elections. Now, quite a few people who were listening to the podcast yesterday were commenting about, you know, I played that sound clip of that publisher who said cunt by accident. And they were all saying, you know, it was just an honest mistake. And you could hear that he was embarrassed. But it made it worse because the presenter made such a fuss out of it, made such a big deal out of it. That's what made the whole situation worse. You see, I don't get that. But it's not just on radio, it's in general. You know, if you happen to be talking to a very religious person, you know, and you by chance slip the F word to them, by chance, because you know you're not used to cleaning up your vocabulary when you're talking to someone of that nature. You know, I'm pretty sure that whoever that person is that you're speaking to, that religious person, will understand and won't say, oh, how dare you, how dare, in the Christ of God, how, and, oh, Jesus Christ, oh my God, Jesus save you. I really don't think they're going to react like that. In fact, they will probably let it just slip. So, look, I find it a little bit annoying that, you know, how that presenter handled it. But I think it's just a UK thing. Because I don't know any radio station. I mean, I'm talking about South Africa. South Africa has almost the same laws as the UK, and we follow almost the same guidance as the UK. But we're a lot more laxative with our laws. But, you know, obviously, if you say shit or fuck or cunt on the radio, we will most likely say, okay, don't do that again, you know. We'll probably joke about it as well. But you see, this is the thing that used to drive me mad about the UK, and that's why, thank goodness, I don't actually work on radio anymore, and especially in the UK, for that matter. It's because it's everything is just so, you can't say that, you can't do that. Grow up. I've got some news for you guys. I got an email from Spotify, because you know we use Spotify to distribute our our show, or the show, to other distributors. And I got an email yesterday from Spotify saying that apparently one of the episodes, one of the first episodes we did, apparently we played some content that belongs to Universal Music. Now, the problem is they've already taken that show down. So I can't go back and listen and say, I can't back myself up. I can't say, okay, I understand, blah, blah, blah. I can't do that because they've already acted so quickly, like a bunch of hungry people, a bunch of hungry people from Ethiopia. But it's just, look, we probably did. I probably did play something. I mean, our first shows on Amsterdam Lab were trial and error. You know, we were trialing a lot of stuff. Some things worked and we've kept them, and some things failed. So music was one of those, was one of the features that we did play. And we got quite a bit of feedback from our listeners saying that, they don't want to listen to music in the podcast, and we listened to it. We took the feedback and we stopped playing music. You know, going into podcasting was something completely new for me. You know, I come from a radio background where you play music. So it was a whole new adventure for me. But, they've taken it down, and basically they've just said, look, don't, if this happens again, there'll be some other action taken. So, it's just a pity because we can't listen back to that episode, because they've told us what episode it was. But we can't go back and listen to, save ourselves, so to speak. Anyway, hey, speaking of music, did anyone watch the Grammys? Now, I didn't mention the Grammys on yesterday's show because I didn't feel the need to. I didn't want to waste my time talking about something that I didn't even know was that relevant. Is it that relevant? Is watching the Grammys that relevant? Are you really that wowed when you watch the Grammys? Come on, think about it. Are you really that wowed when you watch the Grammys? It's the same stuff they do every single year. Honestly, I'm surprised the Grammys are still a thing. What would be a reason to watch the Grammys? Tell me if you're live streaming the show, you can text the show. All right, because I really want to know what is the reason to watch the Grammys. 0686259804. Or if you are live streaming via the Podbean site, you can also write in the little message box that we have for you. 0686259804. What would be a good reason to watch the Grammys? Please tell me. Of course, there are people who won. I mean, Beyonce won, Taylor Swift won, but maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just getting old, but I can't think of any Beyonce song that I can go, wow. Of course, Taylor Swift gets all the votes because she sings about breakups. And that's what every girl apparently is dealing with at the moment, is breakups. You know, it's the, you know, so that's what it is. It's the Grammys is just this whole it's politicized. So you've got Taylor Swift doing the breakup songs, and then you've got Beyonce with the whole political thing. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying it's politicized now, which is something the Grammys never used to be. People used to go to the Grammys because and win stuff because they were good. Honestly, what is the point of the Grammys? I didn't even know it was on until I read the news on yesterday. That's how much I am not paying attention to the Grammys. But Billie Eilish, you know, I've said to a few friends of mine who like Billie Eilish. Now I've said, you know, if two dumpsters mated, she would be the product of that. Because she looks like a dumpster. I have never seen anyone so miserable in my life. Of course, she won awards. I don't know if she won a Best Artist of the Year or whatever. But I've never seen someone so miserable in my life. I was watching an interview with her the other day on some radio station. And she just looked so miserable. No matter how hard that presenter was trying to, you know, was trying with her questions to lighten her spirits, she just looks so depressed. In fact, I think someone who takes cocaine is probably more happier than she is. This whole thing about the Grammys is just a waste. Seriously, why would you want to listen to the Grammys? Is beyond me. Why would you want to watch the Grammys, yet alone listen to it? Apparently, Cardi B, get this, Cardi B apparently farted on stage while she was performing with Megan Thee Stallion. So I think that will probably be, that would be the only reason why I would watch the Grammys is because of that reason. Apparently, Megan Thee Stallion got so close up to her, she farted, and, yeah. Honestly, I don't want to sound like I am this miserable person, and I'm not, I'm very happy with how things are at the moment, but just things like this irritate me, because Why are things like this so relevant? You know, I've had this chat to so many people. You know, people who are on radio, people who are in the music industry. I don't know anyone who waits for a DJ to announce the new Cardi B song, or to tell you what Cardi B is doing in her life. So, why bother? Why bother? I don't know. I just don't find the Grammys that interesting anymore. Anyway, enough about me blabbing about the Grammys. Let's get into some news before we get into our interview with Lauren Comito. Because I'm really interested to chat to her and find out just exactly what is going to be happening and what is happening in the elections. Now, a growing list of countries have suspended the AstraZeneca or the Oxford vaccine. And apparently, by suspending the vaccine, it may be doing more harm than good, experts have said. Now, decisions by at least 16 countries to suspend the use of the AstraZeneca vaccine is baffling, reckless, and political, some experts have said. The decisions came after several countries said they were investigating whether there is a link between the vaccine and the reports of blood clots. Now, I just want to say, I'm no scientist. I'm no doctor or anything. But if you ever read, the box of paracetamol, if you read very closely, it will say exactly the same thing. It may cause blood clots. Yet people buy paracetamol in the masses. So why is this such a big deal? The EMA, the European Medical Association, the WHO, and AstraZeneca have insisted that there is currently no evidence for such a connection. AstraZeneca said its data shows such clots are occurring less in vaccinated groups than in the general population. The country suspending the vaccine generally defended the move as an example of extreme caution designed to maximize confidence in the shot. Now, most of the countries that have put on hold the AstraZeneca jab are mainly European countries. So, you know, Sweden, Slovenia, Latvia, Spain, Luxembourg. I'm not going to go through the whole list. The Netherlands is also there. The only non-European country is Indonesia and the Republic of Congo. Otherwise, every other country seems to be okay with it. One of my ex-colleagues that I used to work with at the radio station, he got his jab today. He got the AstraZeneca jab today. And, you know, I was joking with him and I said, look, you know, let me know about these blood clots that you get. And, you know, he's absolutely fine. I know that he'll be fine. So I don't know where they're coming up with all this rubbish, but I don't think you should stop the progress that you have made just because two countries have reported cases of 10 people with blood clots. It's ridiculous. Anyway, let's get you an update on some coronavirus rules that have been softened slightly. Now, minor changes to the current coronavirus regulations have come into effect as of today, following the government's announcement last week. Children up to the age of 12 can now take swimming lessons at indoor pools again. Now, in addition, adults over the age of 26 are allowed to take part in sports with up to 3 other people indoors. Indoor sports centers and gyms remain closed. Non-food shops, which have been allowed to serve customers by appointment for the past 3 weeks, will be able to accept more clients if they are big enough. And the change means that shops with floor space of less than 50 square meters will be able to have 2 customers. Now, I was in the center of Amsterdam today, and I was walking past a CNA, which is a big clothing store. They make really horrible shit clothing. I mean, it's the kind of clothing I wouldn't wear. It's the kind of clothing that your grandparents would wear to show that they're not old. You know, that's the kind of clothing CNA makes and sells. And people were queuing outside CNA. I've never seen anything like it. They were queuing. Because obviously you can go inside a clothing store, but you need to make an appointment. And people were queuing. There must have been at least 7 or 8 people outside queuing to go into CNA. And some of these people were making appointments on the spot. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I think you have to make an appointment. I think it's like 4 hours in advance or 5 hours in advance. But these people were making appointments at the spot, and it's just it's insane to see that to see people have nothing else, to do with their time, because it's interesting. Honestly, I think we're in a worse situation than we were last year when the virus struck out, because you know last year you could still go to the shops, you could still do normal things whilst there was a curfew in place. But apparently if the numbers keep rising, because apparently the numbers keep rising in corona cases, then we can stop thinking of a relaxed lockdown at the end of the month, which is annoying me because, you know, it's just getting really painful this now. Really, really painful. Cases are up by 24% in the last week. Now, the Public Health Agency said in its latest bulletin that the situation was still worrying, with the R factor above 1 and more than 2,000 patients in hospital. Health Minister Hugo de Jonge said there were signs of a third wave beginning following sharp rises in the number of cases reported daily. Now, the cases increase is partly... the results of more tests being carried out, with 7.7% of tests returning a positive result compared to 8% the previous week. You know, really, it's just getting frustrating because it makes you ask the question, you know, what are we doing? What are we doing? You know, are we even doing these things for a reason? Are we having these curfews for a reason? You know, are we having these lockdowns for a reason? Because it doesn't seem to be the case, because cases seem to be rising. You know, I was in the center earlier, the center of Amsterdam, and it's dead. It is empty. So I don't know. It's just really it's really annoying, because it makes you feel and think that we're doing this for no reason. But anyway, let's see what will happen. You know, I'm optimistic. You've got to be optimistic in these circumstances and in these times. So let's see what happens. You know, only time will tell. Of course, you know, these cases are from 2 weeks, or it's a week behind. So these numbers that you're seeing are probably from last week. So let's see what happens in next week. Maybe we'll have some good news. Who knows? Now, listen to this. A German children's book publisher has, at the urging of the Chinese embassy in Hamburg, taken a children's book off the market because it implies a direct link to Corona in China. Rolf Weber, who is an associate professor for European Global Studies at the University of Basel in Switzerland, says that the Chinese, that the People's Republic of China is trying to control how we think and talk about China. They feel there should be only good stories about China. The Chinese consulate in Hamburg promptly threatened the publisher by filing criminal charges and demanding the recall of the book, as well as a public apology. The publisher compiled with the demand, saying that it had stopped the delivery of the book, and that a new edition with a different wording regarding the origins of the virus is already in the making. A embassy spokesman told Deutsche Welle that Beijing fears its image in the world could suffer, and that the immeasurable compensation claims could ensue if the virus was positively linked to China. You see, look, I have no doubt that it is. So, yeah, let's just, let's see what happens. I have no doubt that virus is linked to China. So, yeah, I don't really know why China is complaining. Anyway, enough about that and me blabbering on about China and the virus. Let's get our guest on this evening. Now, as I said earlier, we spoke with Lauren last year when we launched Amsterdam Lab. She was one of the first guests we had on our show. And I'm delighted to say that she's back, and she's going to be talking to us about everything that's happening in the Dutch elections. Obviously, the youth is the big factor and the big talking point in this election. Because obviously the youth have been impacted quite a lot with the coronavirus pandemic. So, how are you, Lauren? Nice to have you on the show again. Hello. See, so this is what happens when we don't have technicians on us. All right, let me try get you on the phone again, and we'll try that again, because let's try that again and just and see. Technology, I tell you.
Leave a message after.
No, I don't want to leave a message after the tone. That is something I don't want to do. Why is it doing this now? I don't understand. Wait, hang on. Let me try something. I don't know what is happening here. Because she's definitely available. She's just messaged me to say she's there. She can hear me. Technology, hang on a second, guys. I'm gonna try something. Right, I'm gonna try her on the third attempt. See, now if this was radio, I would have a producer and I would have a technician pulling their hair out. But since this isn't radio, this is a podcast, let's try this again. Okay. We're going to try third time lucky and see if we can get hold of her. She's definitely there. She's chatting to me to say that she can hear me talk, but for some reason I can't hear her talking, which is bizarre. Very strange. Okay. I think whilst we're waiting for Lauren, let's get into some more news. Got to keep the show rolling, so let's get into some more news while we're getting into the issue of this problem. Now, according to the Financial Times, Mark Rutte is on course to win a fourth term as Prime Minister. Now, we'll get onto this with Lauren once we have her on the phone. The VVD Day Party is topping the polls ahead of tomorrow's election, or tomorrow's final results of the election. Now, if he wins, which I think we can pretty much say his seat is safe, but if by chance he doesn't win, very strange, but if he does win tomorrow, he's on course to be the EU's second largest serving leader after Angela Merkel departs German politics later this year. Think about it. That is some accolade to have. You know, you may not agree with his views and policies, but that is some accolade to have when you're a politician. You know, some people are these career politicians. But when you're in politics for that long and you're making very important decisions on the people that you're governing, on the country that you're governing, it is a serious accolade to have. I mean, look, I don't agree with him. I don't agree with most of his stories, but that is an accolade to have. A real accolade, and something to be proud of, you know. So let's see what happens. All right, I think we've got Lauren. I think we've got Lauren on the line, so we'll add Lauren again, and get her views on everything. Hey, Lauren, nice to have you on the show. Sorry about that. There must have been a issue or something like that, because I was talking with you, but the problem was it kept leaving a voice note. I have no idea why that is the case, but anyway, it's good to have you on the show. So thank you very much for taking the time to chat to me. As I was saying, this election is very important, mainly for the youth, because obviously the youth have been impacted a lot because of the coronavirus that's happened. You know, a lot of the youth feel like, you know, they can't do stuff that they want to do, you know, like go to the park, go see friends, go have drinks, because obviously the government has put restrictions on them. So obviously, you know, this is depending heavily on the youth. So I guess the question I want to start off with is, you know, who's appearing to the youth? You know, what parties appeal to the youth, should I say?
Yeah. So basically, the youth in the Netherlands vote a lot. In the last election in 2017, 76% of the under 25s came and voted. I will just say that in the Netherlands, they call it a gray country, a gray vote, because the average voter is 50. But that being said, a lot of parties are trying to get the youth vote because they need to, you know, for their livelihood, I guess you could say, to stay relevant. So it turns out that youth shy away from those big established parties, even the Labour Party, PvdA, the average voter is 59 years old. Yeah. Youth tend to go for newer parties. They definitely tend to vote more progressively left, so Green Links, D66, but even left parties like the socialists are old, but they tend to go for the radical left and also for newer parties. So while newer parties like the Volt Party, the Pan-European Party, they also go for, it could be on the right, this Ja 21. I mean, they tend to go for newer parties.
So, I mean, there is a new party. I mean, you've spoken of new parties, and I see there's a new party called Volt. So who are they and where are they in regards to, are they left, are they right, are they center, are they central? Can you tell us a little bit more about Volt?
Sure. Interesting. I think they would say that they're not right or left. They're looking for solutions. So they're a pan-European party. There are Volt parties throughout Europe. They have one candidate, one serving member in the European Parliament. Excuse me. They've won some local elections, but in the elections, I guess they started Monday, but culminating tomorrow, this is the first time they're on the national ticket, a national ticket. And they have been the big surprise in this election. They're going to go from zero seats to possibly three. So they, again, as a European party, they told me they're, you know, looking for European solutions to European problems. And that's really appealed to young people because climate change is not going to be tackled. And that's a big issue for youth just in one country. It's Europe wide. Whether it's, as he said, the water in our sinks or the makeup, a lot of Europe-wide policy, and they want to influence it that way. I did speak to someone at Volt, a candidate who said they don't want to just be seen as a youth party. They have something called Silver Volt, which is like 55 and over, silver hair, but with a heart, and they're trying to connect the generations. So most of their support is young people, or that's a very big part of their support, but they really clearly seem to be appealing to many people that they're going to go from this unknown no seats to possibly three.
Right. Interesting. Now, I must say, I think the chances of them gaining a lot of seats is pretty, you know, marginal and slim. But I must say, I've noticed, you know, in the run-up to this election, D66 seemed to be appealing to the youth, for two reasons. Mainly because, obviously, of their manifesto. Obviously, they focus in heavily on the climate, but also of Sigrid Kaas. You know, a lot of people, and I see even today she was trending because, you know, there's a real possibility. It's a very slim possibility, but there's a real possibility she could be the first female prime minister in the Netherlands, which I think would be terrific because, you know, I keep saying this on the show, you know, I think it will only empower females in the Netherlands. And, females deserve to have a voice. They deserve to be heard, and, you know, especially with what's happened with the recent events in London and in the UK. I think, you know, a person like that will only empower and encourage females to have a voice and to speak out. So I see them being a very strong contender to Mark Rutte's party. Whether or not she will win is another question up for debate. But certainly I think, you know, if you really want to change the system, I think that will really be the way to go. Now, go ahead.
I mean, I do think Day 66 is slated to get a couple more seats. I don't know if anyone could beat Rutte this time, but it's a coalition partner, which they have been. I mean, for sure. That's definitely sounds, you know, possible.
Definitely. And, you know, I mean, Amsterdam already has a female mayor, that's of Femke Halsema, who's doing, you know, a pretty good job. So to have a female prime minister would be excellent.
Right. I mean, I do have to say, I personally can't imagine Rutte not. I mean, it's interesting. His campaign, the campaign posters for the party show him for the first time as compared to the party. Like, he's the leader through the crisis. He's the manager. He's this Teflon guy. It does appear that he will be the big winner and probably the coalition former. But, you know.
And you mentioned, you know, you've seen him on all the posters, and I don't know if you've seen him, and you probably have on YouTube. You know, you get those little 5-second ads. Thank goodness you can skip the ad because I wouldn't want to watch the rest of the ad. But it's the best way I can describe this the PVV's adverts. It's almost like, you know, you get your grandparents who don't know much about technology, so you give them a phone and you want them to make you want them to go on Snapchat and, you know, do animal faces and all of that. That's what it looks like with what Mark Rutte is doing, because I don't think he really gets social media.
Right, there was a big thing about I was watching some stuff on TikTok. Look, he's definitely not big with the youth. I mean, no. They're not going for the middle party anyway. He did have some shout outs to them during the corona crisis. You know, talk to me, give us your solutions. You're the future. We need to talk to you. But it's not like he's their person. You know, they're definitely looking much more left, or, you know, again, for newer parties.
Yeah. Well, let's see. I mean, from the people I've been speaking with, they're not going to be voting for him. I want to talk to you about this 16-year-old that's running for parliament. It's crazy.
Christine Rindel. Tinapel, yes.
Tell me more about this, because this is incredible. What's that girl called?
Thunberg.
Greta Thunberg. She kind of sounds like that. She's doing things that are impossible, but she's doing it.
I mean, I'm not sure if she's that overtly political. But the thing is, okay, she's great. She's running for office. Basically, in the Netherlands, you can run for political office from the time you're 14. Now, you can't vote until you're 18, right? But you can run from your 14. So she is the youngest person on the ballot. She's running she's standing in a party called Young, which translates as young. And she's the number two. So the number one is 19 years old. If they get 2 seats, which it doesn't even, look that this highly unlikely, then the number three will come in. He's 33, the oldest in the party, he told me. He'll come in and sit for her because she can't sit. But basically, a lot of these young people, and Volt too, they want young people on the ticket. They're like, we want to be around the decision table. We want to be taken into account. We don't want to just be someone you talk to. So by being that high up on the candidates list, because I spoke to a spokesperson from the PvdA, the Labour Party, and she's like, oh, we have 10 candidates out of 50 who are in their 20s. But for these young parties, like Young, they're like, no, we need them up top, on the top of the ticket. We need these young people in the trade of commerce. So if Volt has its way, there will be some. They also have a very young party. There'll be younger people in the trade of commerce, which is what these groups want. They want young people sitting around the decision tables.
So it's more of a influence position than anything.
Yes, it's like, and the issues that young people care about, climate change, student debt, loan, education issues, especially now with Corona, online education, people are finding that really hard, mental health, and housing. Housing is a huge problem in the country, and especially in Amsterdam, and people can't afford it. And the whole way the student debt, it used to be more of a grant, or, I guess they just gave you money, now it's a loan that you have to pay back. And, so all those kind of those issues are really big for young people, and again, climate change. But, the interesting thing is that in this so-called great country, with most of the voters being 50 and older, what wins elections are, it's not really talk of climate change on the campaign trail that's winning election. It's, talks of pension and healthcare. So if you want to win, you have to appeal to these older voters. But clearly these parties are trying to woo the young voters because this is their future. This is their lifeblood. This is what will, take them into the future, and they need them. And these youth, I don't want to say children, of course, because they're not, these youth are saying, like, we're the ones who are going to be paying for the policies, for the policies you've had all these years. We're going to be paying, and we want a say. We want a vote. And in fact, the Young Party wants to change the voting age from 18 to 16. And their argument is that, 16-year-olds pay taxes, they work, they want a say.
I was just about to, I'm glad you brought this topic up, because I was actually going to ask you in regards to, what ideas do any of these parties have? Have they reinvented themselves to appeal to the youth? Because obviously, the VVD appeals mostly to older people.
Yeah, I haven't done a comprehensive, exhaustive survey. I know that there's like a next generation campaign with Labour that's trying to reach out to youth. But again, when I spoke to the Labour woman spokesperson, this was a campaign that was launched last week. I mean, the election is today. So, if you speak to someone, I spoke to this guy from Young, number three on the list, Andreas. He said, all the parties remember us, 4 to 6 weeks before the election. But, we want to be, and then they forget about us. We're just not really there. They know where to find us when they need us, but, we're not there the whole time. So, that's their whole point. They want to be, and Volt says also that young people are an integral part of their policy. Even 16-year-old Christine Mindel is like, I have a vote, not maybe on the national stage, but she has a vote in her party. And, they want real concrete voting. They don't just like talk about us. Like, they want to be part of the decision making.
So, If you could have an insight on the final decision of the votes, how do you think it would go? Obviously, we know Marco Rutte will be safe. His party will be safe. But who do you think might gain in this election?
Oh.
Because I think, and it's bizarre to think this, but I think Party for Freedom is going to gain an extra few seats. Bizarre to think that, but they will.
Like the study, the polls are showing they will. And, of course, the PPP is also supposed to do well. And I think also people can gain seats. I think Volt can gain a few, but they won't necessarily be part of the coalition because they won't have enough to be part of a coalition. But it's still significant that they're, have seats where they didn't have before in Parliament. Mm. So I think you're right. I think it will be Mark Rutte and, some of these other parties, I think Wilders would do okay, but will anyone work with him? I think already he even missed that. That's not going to happen.
No, of course not. And all the parties have said they're not going to work with him. I think even the most extreme right party have said they wouldn't work with him if they were in a coalition. So
I mean, it's interesting that young people also vote for the extreme right. Again, it's like a new party is much more exciting, I guess. Clearly, the one girl I spoke to who was 19 was like, we know what the older middle parties are going to do. We know what they give up immediately, So it's kind of the unknown that's exciting and possible.
And when would it be that we know the results? It would be tomorrow, right? Or Thursday?
I'm sorry again. I do believe it'll be tomorrow, but the coalition building could take.
Right. Forever. Okay. All
right. And I will just tell me personally, my 18-year-old daughter is voting for the first time tomorrow. Oh, so this is a very special election for me.
Congratulations. Can you vote in the elections? Because I know you've been here for quite a while.
Yes, but no, I am not a citizen. I can only vote in
regional.
So regional and for the water board, not for the national. But that's okay. I got to, cast my vote in the U.S. election, which was also quite
important. Oh, well, I think that was probably bigger than this election.
Yeah, well, I would love to vote in Dutch elections, believe me, but.
Yeah, I think, quite a few people that we spoke with last year, Americans who were living in Amsterdam, all got their friends, everyone to vote in the election, which is terrific because obviously we saw the outcome. We saw the votes. It's terrific to see.
I mean, I'm a big voter. I always vote. I've always had I love voting. For me, it's a big, what you can do,
So you can only influence your daughter on their decision by telling her what you think.
She's influencing me.
Right.
I'm just telling you about all the people I've spoken to from Young and Volt, but I think she's going with the Green Left. Yeah.
Interesting. Well, I guess only time will tell. We'll find out tomorrow whether or not
yes, we will.
Who people have voted for. Just very quickly, I just want to let you know because I was actually reading something whilst we were getting you on the phone. You probably know this, but I found it very interesting that according to the Financial Times, Mark Rutte is, if he does win, which as polls suggest he will. He's on course to win a fourth term as prime minister. Now, what makes it relevant is that he will be the second longest serving leader after Angela Merkel departs from German politics later this year.
That is astounding, isn't it?
Mm.
He does seem to weather it. I mean, just that he's still here with the whole Tusslach affair. I guess it also helps if you lead through a crisis. But we did. It's funny. We had a meeting. I'm at the Foreign Press Association, and we spoke with Petra de Koning, a journalist from NRC Handelsblad, and she wrote a book about Mark Rutte. And she said that, for her, he's apparently always been practicing to be prime minister. Like him and his friend, when they were young, were, role-playing. One was a journalist, and Rutte was the prime minister. This is something that he's wanted for a long time. That he's done, and clearly he knows how to hang on to it.
Yeah, and I said this whilst we were talking about the news earlier on. You get career politicians that are just in it for a career and don't really see themselves as progressing any further than a economic minister or a social affairs minister or whatever. And then you get people like Mark Rutte who this is all they want. This is their passion. This is their life.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And again, for people who are watching him, I mean, if you know, in these times of corona and uncertainty, he's the ultimate manager, right? I mean, it's pretty, at least in the beginning, it was when you look at him on the TV, it's like, okay, my God, you know, he's stable, he's this, we have a king, it's not like Trump or whatever, like, okay, this looks, yeah, I do think so.
Fascinating to chat with you, Lauren. Always good to have you on the show. And thanks for coming on and chatting to us on the show. I really appreciate it. If you want to know more about Lauren, if by chance you didn't listen to us right in the beginning when we launched Amsterdam Lab, you can follow Lauren on Twitter at Lauren Comato, all one word. I'll spell her last name because it's quite a unique last name. Her last name is Comitau. Comato.
Thank you. And, I love Twitter followers.
Yes. You're a very fascinating, intelligent, wise person. And I love your tweets. They are you always learn so much from whenever you tweet. It's terrific.
Okay. So you're an NFL fan also. Thank you.
Well, you know, go Giants, you know.
Yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Lauren. Okay. Have a great evening.
You too.
Okay. Bye. Bye. There you go. Lauren Comato, everyone. I'm so delighted to have her on the show. It was, we learned so many new things. I always learn so many new things when I chat to her. And as I said, you can follow Lauren on Twitter at Lauren Comato, Comitau. She mentioned to me where her surname was from, but I can't remember. It was somewhere near Croatia, that part of Europe. That's where her surname originates from. Terrific. All right. Before we leave, I just want to end on this note, because you know, as Dutch elections are happening, and most of the people who listen to the podcast are from the Netherlands, and are Dutch. So I want to leave on this note, and that is, vote with your head, not your heart. Winston Churchill, to his credit, was a wise leader of the 20th century, having once said, "The best argument against democracy is a 5-minute conversation with the average voter." However, in an era where a third of the Dutch population cannot name a single branch of government, many people, regardless of any access to information, rarely understand anything of substance regarding the government and guiding policies. It's a strange paradox that only you can influence. Now, obviously, having voted in elections myself, nobody seems to get the outcome they wanted. But voting with your heart, in my mind, would mean each voter simply votes for the party whose policies they most agree with. And in an ideal world, each vote would be counted and there would be a completely fair and democratic way to represent everyone's views with the government. Whilst in theory, everyone's votes counts, in practice, it's not that simple, voting with your head. It can feel like your vote no longer counts, since there is little to no chance it will help your candidate achieve a majority. So obviously this raises the question of whether we should vote emotionally or tactfully. After all, every vote does count, and every election is determined by the people who show up. Have a good Tuesday. We'll chat to you tomorrow. It is Hump Wednesday, the only day that it's made for you to actually have sex. We got a busy week again on the show. We're going to be chatting to some business owners. It's going to be a very fascinating week. We've got so many interesting people lined up, everything from business owners to people who travel all around the world. I think you're going to like these guests. So keep listening to Amsterdam Lab and the Wade Hutchinson Show. And we'll be back tomorrow.